Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. Season 12, episode 308. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker, and we got a great show for you today. And a tech rec that I'm particularly excited about at the end. So I'm not gonna, don't look ahead in the notes. Stop looking at the notes.
I looked ahead in the notes before. Yeah.
I want to tell you about it. Don't look
I think I've actually used it before.
No, you have not. It's brand new. No, you've never seen it before. It's magical.
It's not brand new. I've used
it. It's magical.
And I know you haven't used my tech rec. I know that's for sure.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's just dive in. All right. Yep. So first article, the problem with Jon Stewart cancellation highlights a problem for Apple's content. Yeah, this is interesting. I did not see this coming. I thought this was a pretty popular show and they're canceling it apparently because Jon Stewart wanted to talk about China and AI in upcoming episodes. And Apple was like, we don't want to make China mad. And we're working on some deep AI stuff and we don't want to look bad. So maybe don't talk about that. And Jon Stewart's like, you know, he's Jon Stewart. He's like, I'm going to do what I want to do, man.
And he's one of those guys that if you tell him not to do it, he's going to do it double.
Oh, like
even more.
1,000 times over.
Right? Yeah. And that's kind of why I love him.
Oh, dude, he's fantastic.
Like when he digs in, like all the work that he's done on the 9/11 first responders and the health stuff,
yeah,
man, he is just on point. That guy is so sharp.
Yeah,
and
he is.
You say anything and he has all of the stuff in his head and he can just...
He's
piece together
crazy
an argument. Like, yeah, he is.
Next levels of intelligence. Wild.
Yeah, I would love to meet him one day and just like absorb some of the knowledge and talk to him about stuff. But in the meantime, if you want to watch him, well, you can on Apple Plus anymore, Apple TV Plus or whatever. You would have to pay more if you did want to because they're raising their prices. Apple TV Plus, Apple Arcade, and Apple News Plus receiving price increases. So this is on the heels of Netflix and everybody else raising prices. And I feel like we're getting right back to that point where we used to talk about cable bills being so large.
In fact, I think it's actually worse now because I think, because there was a time when you could pay a stupid amount of money, let's say $80 a month for cable. But then you could keep up with every single popular show. Like all of 100% of the shows were available to you, basically. I mean, almost 100%, maybe not HBO, but almost 100% of the shows.
Right.
But now you can pay about $80 a month, but you do not have access to 100% of the shows for $80 a month. You got to spend way more than that to have access to everything that's in popular culture now. And so then you got to pick and choose. I mean, like, you know, case in point, like I've tried to talk you into getting Apple TV to watch various things. You're like, nope, not going to do it. And so like it, I don't know. I get why they have to make money. I get all that. It just, it's frustrating to me as a consumer.
Yeah. And they just want to keep spending more and more on content because they want to get more and more customers on those, on those platforms. And it's just, it is really, really hard. I mean, I think about what I've got right now. We, you know, with the Hulu Live price increases, we're going to be dropping Hulu Live soon.
Oh, Hulu Live is crazy expensive.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
I'm on
YouTube,
YouTube TV, same thing. It's very expensive. So I only keep YouTube TV during college football season to watch games. And then I drop it as soon as the college football season's over and then pick it back up the next fall. Cause it's just, I don't need it. It's not worth it.
So. We're going to drop it and go to Tableau only, over the air, kind of television, antenna. We'll keep Hulu, but the, you know, the ad free kind of non live stuff. And then we've got the Amazon, got Netflix. I think we're probably going to jump back onto HBO Max Max now.
Pretty good one.
And I actually, it's funny, I just signed up for Paramount Plus for the next couple of months.
Oh, dude, there's some good Star Trek on there.
I'm watching quickly because there's actually a targeted deal. Here's a little hint for our listeners on American Express, where if you spend more than $11 on Paramount Plus, you get $11 back. So the Paramount Plus deal with Showtime, which I wasn't interested in Showtime, ends up being $11.99 a month. So basically you're paying $1 a month. For me, it's for the next 3 months up through December. And I'm like, I'm canceling after December
Star
because
Trek Discovery, $1. Man. You need to binge Star Trek Discovery. It's fantastic.
Is there a new season? I finished it.
No, there's not. No.
It's done, right?
Yeah, yeah. But then, okay. Then there's the one with Captain Pike, too. That's a good one, too. A good series.
I saw that one. I don't know that I've got enough time to actually watch.
You got time. Start today. You got time. All right. On a happy note for Apple, Apple lines up to support nationwide right to repair legislation. So they're actively supporting this. And like, yep. This is going to mean that, like, I think they'll have to sell tools so you can open up your own phone and do your own stuff, which I think is great. I love that.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, yes. So we talked about this before where they supported legislation in California and Oregon, I believe. But then there were some caveats of like, yeah, they were kind of trying to bomb it, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
And some of the toolkits that they've released in the past have been like, hey, rent this toolkit from us to fix your phone. And then you got to send it back type of thing, which is not exactly a full on right to repair. Right. That said, I do appreciate the fact that they're asking for a nationwide right to repair legislation, you know, make everything on par. You know, this is the Biden administration going after junk fees, which traditionally that he talked about like hotel junk fees and like those kinds of things. But this is essentially a junk fee too, right? Because you break your phone and now you got to either buy a new phone or go some expensive place to get it fixed.
A quarter of the price to replace the whole phone versus just the screen. Like, like that's just silliness.
Right. But by the way, I've had a smartphone now for, I don't know how many years, probably like 8, 10, 15. How many years we've had smartphones?
I don't say it's going to be bad for you.
I've never broken a screen because I use a phone case. I use a phone case and a screen protector.
Universe is going to crack your phone before we finish this.
It's not going to happen.
It's gone. It's gone.
I've messed up plenty of screen protectors. I've messed up plenty of phone cases. Yeah. I've never messed up a phone. In fact, I have sold my old phones. There's some website, and I know it was a tech recommend a long time ago, and I've forgotten the name of it now.
Yeah.
But I have sold my old phones on those sites before, and people that have gotten them are like, oh my God, this phone is like in near mint condition. It's like, yeah, because I had it in a phone case the whole time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so I get decent money for my old phones because it doesn't look like it's got road rash on it.
All right. Next weird, interesting segment, I guess, two articles here. Very different, but still. Royal College mulls no confidence move over Excel disaster.
So, oh my God.
So apparently this is in Europe.
Yep.
And they need to appoint doctors to various positions. And there were 25 candidates for this. And there were two scores that got mixed up. So one was the ranking system. Are you ranked number one, number two, number three? Like the ranking, like where they ranked. And the other was the score on like the test or whatever they had taken, right? And somehow in Excel, somebody screwed up and got those numbers switched. And so they were like, yeah, we can't appoint anyone. No one meets our qualifications. And so Royal College is like, the fact that you're doing all of this based on like 10 different Excel spreadsheets is kind of scary, and we may have to do something about that. So did I sum that up right? Did I miss anything?
Pretty much, yeah. It was 24, not 25. But other than that, you're dead on. This is just crazy. That's
wild.
That they're using Excel.
Yeah.
And then when whoever said like, oh, nobody's qualified, they didn't think like, hey, maybe that's we weird. Should just double check that.
Yeah.
Just that make sure. Like
a bad result. Yeah.
You know, like the two extremes, nobody is qualified or all of them are qualified.
Right. Those are both would be not like, good results.
Maybe that's strange and requires a double check.
Yeah.
So great. Another like county city craziness thing. Yeah. A town repeatedly surveilled a man's yard with a drone without a warrant. And he's, of course, suing because
this is like some yard, like his 10-acre property, too.
Yeah,
like, that's like it's not like it was like some yard on like a suburban street where you kind of don't really expect a ton of privacy. Like it's a 10-acre property with like a bunch of buildings and they're flying drones over because they want to see if he's added more junk cars to the property. And they're mad that they have some legal agreement that he shouldn't add any more junk cars to the property or something. Like what?
And they knew they were in the wrong because they didn't get the police to do this. Right. They didn't get any city people. They hired a private outside company.
Exactly.
That was like, we's getting paid, so whatever, we're going to do it. Yeah. And they didn't care about, you know, the legality. The city's paying for it.
Right.
Assuming they're in the right. They know what they're doing.
If you're a private company and the city's paying you to do something, you would assume the city's not going to pay you to do something that's illegal.
Right. Because the city has lawyers and they would check, but clearly not. And so there you have it.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, and the other thing too is like, why would a city care that much? Like, it's of a how 10 many junk acre cars? Property.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a 10-acre property, and to see if there are junk cars, you have to fly a drone, which indicates that you can't see it from the road.
Right.
Which indicates who cares?
Like, right.
Some people care about stuff. I don't understand. You're making it too hard. Like, life ain't that hard, man.
I mean, next thing you know, they'll be flying a drone into your bathroom being like, hey, how many times did you flush today?
Yeah, did you flush too many times? Like,
because that's too many. Yeah. We don't appreciate the too many flushes.
You got to let it mellow. Everybody
No, you don't. Don't let it mellow. No, that's gross. That's just gross.
All right. Next little segment here. Humanoid robots face major test with Amazon's Digit pilots. So, is that right? Yeah, Amazon. Yeah. So this is like humanoid robots picking up and carrying stuff around.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, looking at the pictures of these things, why do they need a face? Like, they don't really
do they
have
need a face. I don't remember.
I mean, they have eyes. They have a head of sorts.
That's, I think it's probably just not to freak people out. That's what
I think that's what it is.
I think it's totally not to freak people out, for sure. I mean, I think like this is cool. I don't know how much, maybe it's more efficient. It's cool. I mean, it's definitely, you know.
I mean, I don't think it's the efficiency is the thing. I think the cost is the thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Because they're cheaper. Right. And if the robot gets hurt, there's no workman's comp for that.
Swap them out.
Just, yeah. Get the next one.
Yeah. It's interesting. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. But somebody else that's testing out the same kind of robots. White Castle is hiring robots as fry cooks and seeing an improvement in service and order accuracy. There you go.
I mean, is that surprising in any capacity, though? Like, really?
But you know, White Castle fries only come in one size.
Really?
Yeah. Do you not know what that's from? Mm. That's the only thing I ever think of when I think of White Castle. It's the Beastie Boys song, Slow and Low.
Okay.
White Castle fries.
An old rap song. That's what
White Castle fries only come in one size.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. Of course, it's going to be more efficient. Of course,
we don't have any White Castles in Georgia, right?
I mean, isn't White Castle and Crystal Link, aren't they kind of the same thing though? Like, aren't they even the same company?
Are they? I don't know.
I don't know that I've ever eaten a White Castle. I've eaten a Crystal a lot when I was young, and I'll just say young. So I not in a very, 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 very long time.
Never eaten at either one of those two fine establishments.
I mean,
we used to have White Castle in Kentucky. I remember seeing it, but I've never seen it down here.
All you're missing out on is a small hamburger that you would not eat anyway. So,
and that's probably good. Why I've never eaten there because I don't eat hamburgers.
So. All right, this last one in this segment is pretty interesting. Artists can use a data poisoning tool to confuse DALL-E and corrupt AI scraping. And so this is a new tool that's been created that essentially inserts kind of like corrupt pixels into an image. And then when that image gets scraped by, you know, these different AI tools that are you know, because they're scraping these copyrighted materials to use for learning to then potentially kind of recreate down the road. It basically will insert some kind of script or something that it'll be like an image of a car, but instead of a car, it'll make that an image of a cow in the AI's mind. So it could potentially completely screw up the entire training methodology of the AI and completely screw up its ability to create new images, right? Did I describe that correctly? It's called Nightshade.
I think so. It's called Nightshade. I think we're just like at the beginning or near the beginning of this kind of AI prevention battle. Arms race thing is just gonna the AI is gonna get better then to
overcome
circumvent this and then they'll create something else and then it's just gonna keep going back and forth and the people that are losing are all the rest of us humans basically
and I think it's out of MIT if I remember correctly. I will say you know, listen, props to AI, man. Like I had a great AI instance yesterday that I'll just share with you really fast.
Uh-huh.
It made my wife just look like so brilliant to her. So she's a part of this nonprofit because she's a nursing student, so nonprofits, whatever thing.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, we need a plan for like an offering to develop to get sponsors. They're like, can you create that? So I popped out my phone and I just spoke a couple of words, like voice to text words into ChatGPT. Hey, I need a sponsorship plan. I need to say this, have these different tiers and include an in-person event, blah, blah, blah. And it spits out this like perfect plan. And then she goes in and edits it a little bit and then sends it off to her team. And they were like, whoa, this is amazing. I'm like, yeah. She goes, should I tell them that I use ChatGPT? I was like, no, of course you should not tell them. I'm like, no, it's a tool. You use a tool. It's fine. It is what it is. So it was fantastic.
There you go. It's funny. I was reading just, there was an article a little while ago that I was reading about LLMs, large language models like ChatGPT, and making the point that they're actually not artificial intelligence. It's just scoring of prediction of words one after another to piece things together.
You made that point before. There's not true artificial intelligence. Yeah.
Yeah. It's we're like not there yet. Yeah.
I will say though, like I did upgrade to the paid ChatGPT.
Uh-huh.
And it now it does two things that are amazing. One is it will auto search websites for you, which is like, so like, I'm like, hey, tell me the top AI tools for consultants. And it'll go search a bunch of different blog posts about AI tools for consultants and then spit back out the results of synthesizing all that data, which is amazing. The other thing it did, and this is so great, it now integrates directly with DALL-E 3. So after the Alabama-Tennessee game on Saturday when Alabama won, I was like, hey, draw me a cartoon of a Tennessee football player crying with an Alabama flag behind him. And I was able to generate that instantly. And then I texted that to my daughter, who's a student in Alabama. She's like, this is awesome. So it was a pretty, pretty fun way to use AI for that. So anyway,
there right, you go.
Last one for Weird and Wacky.
We're going to talk about Twitter one for just 1 second here. Pour one out for the banks that invested in Musk's Twitter. Are going to be writing down the value of what they spent on there. The banks lent $13 billion to purchase the platform. So it was 44 billion or 42 billion? It was 40 something billion. 44, I think.
42. It was a 420 playoff, remember? So
was it 40?
I think it was 420. Yeah.
Okay. They're expecting now to have their sales and take a hit of about $2 billion when they sell their debts. And I honestly think that's being generous.
Yeah.
I think they should expect to lose all $13 billion of the $13 billion they've lent because this is not going to go well.
So if only there was this way to like, see if somebody that's going to run a company is, I don't know, like acting erratic and like saying and doing irrational things and sort of being
crazy.
There was a platform and somebody did. Yeah, that's right. It was called Twitter.
I remember that platform
being very erratic before he bought it. Maybe they should have looked at some of his tweets.
They can go back and look at them now. They're called X's now. Yeah, I don't know what they're called.
I feel like there's like a huge population that was like, yeah, we all saw this coming. Like, how is this a surprise?
Like, yeah. This is like, you know what this is like? This is like the Juicero thing that we talked about a long time ago, that startup that failed with the bags of fruit that it would juice. And everybody else that looked at it was like, this is dumb. Why is this company worth more than $1 billion? And there was a small segment of people like, it was clearly worth over $1 billion. It's billions of money. Yeah. It's lots and lots of money. And they lost all their money.
Yeah.
That's this over again.
It's the same thing as like the Adam Newman stuff. It's like the dude's charismatic. So let's make his company worth $100 billion or whatever it was. Like, no, it's not worth anywhere near that amount of money. Like, that's insane.
I feel like we should start a site that says we all knew this. Why didn't you? .com and be a list of all these companies that we all knew this, all but why didn't you?
We all saw it coming.
Yeah.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right. We got one weird and wacky for you. The space-based drug factory that can't come home. It's in the subtext line is orbiting lab pioneers space-made medicines and the red tape needed to land. So apparently they made some medicines in space. I think one was for HIV and the other was for something else. I don't remember. Hepatitis maybe.
Yeah. And, yeah, I forgot what the other one was.
You know, just a little bit, just to prove that they could make it in space. And it's made and it's ready and it was supposed to land in September and they can't get the authorization to land the tiny space capsules the size of a trash can, and they call it Winnebago One, which is by far my favorite part of this entire article. Like, I that's what you name that's the right thing to name a satellite. Winnebago One. That's perfect.
So they have four trips planned up. So okay. Winnebago 2 is on deck for next year. Yeah. But so what's interesting here is they are the first company that's trying to get a satellite back like this. Everybody else has sent up satellites and then the plan is to have them burn up on reentry back into the atmosphere.
Right.
So it doesn't cause space junk and things like that. Unless you're dish network.
Problem with getting back because we're not used to actually trying to retrieve something. Oh, right. That makes so much more sense.
So they were trying to figure out where is this going to land and all this kind of stuff. And they finally figured out like, hey, they're going to do this place out in Nevada, I think, which is actually the military's test center.
Yeah.
So they've got, I don't know, it's a humongous area that they've got kind of west of Vegas, 80 miles west of Vegas.
Right.
Probably like hundreds and hundreds of square miles.
Right.
So they've got to coordinate with not just them, because the military's got to be not using the test range
when this thing's coming down.
Yeah. But also with the FAA, because you got to make sure there's not a plane in the path that's going to get demolished by this thing coming in. But also the FCC, because the communication stuff has to be. So there's like a lot of communications. So they've actually said in the article that they are now exploring an opportunity to go to Australia and land this there.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more wide open space and a lot less coordination that needed because there's a lot less people down there kind of in the middle of the country. But the interesting thing is that because it's an American space company, even if they're going to land it in Australia, the FAA and the FCC are still going to be involved with approvals. So super fascinating.
Yeah. I never thought about the whole like plane angle, you know, like you don't want, like,
I mean,
like just crash into like, I mean, that's a great point. I don't want to be on the plane where that happens.
I definitely don't want to be on the plane when things are crashing down from the skies above. So
bad option.
Yeah.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
So I've got another in my installment of smart home stuff. And I've been on the hunt for a sensor that would open and close, like detect open and closes when I've got a cabinet that I'm opening and closing. So I've got a cabinet that's got a shredder, and everybody that's listening to this should have a paper shredder at home.
Yep.
That's attached to a smart, you've got one right there. I saw you pointing at it.
I got it right there. It's right next to my desk. So I can just like, boop, done.
Mine's right outside.
Yeah.
So I've got my shredder attached to a smart outlet, but I need something to kind of trigger when I'm opening the cabinet to turn the outlet on, which turns the shredder on. And then to turn the shredder off when I close the cabinet after a couple of minutes so that, you know, once the shredding's done.
That is so next level, man.
It is. So I tested a couple of different sensors, and it's the Akira. I don't know. How do you say it? A-Q-A-R-A. There's no U, so it throws me off.
Yeah.
Door and window sensor P2. Now, here's the thing with the sensor. It doesn't need a hub. It doesn't need to connect to the internet. Nothing like that. It uses the new Matter specification for smart home technologies. So the Home Assistant, which I talked about a few episodes ago, supports Matter. And I was able to connect this directly into the Home Assistant system. So now the Home Assistant knows when that sensor gets opened or closed.
Yeah.
So when it opens, it automatically turns on the outlet. And then when it closes, it starts a counter. And after 5 minutes, it shuts the outlet off. So the shredder automatically turns on and off whenever I open the cabinet. I had a little bit of hiccups with this sensor, but I was able to figure it out, reset it a couple of times, connect it in. It also works on Thread, which is another new networking technology that's a mesh-based system.
Yeah.
But it was really fantastic, and right. it worked really well.
So it's time for me to bust your chops for half a second, because I feel like this is like such a huge, technical, complicated solution to avoid pushing a button. Like,
yes,
I just, it's 100%. It's got power. I'm going to push the button. Okay, it's on. Okay.
Nobody's got time for that, man. I need to open it and have it come on its own. And when I feed it stuff, close the drawer again and let it keep going.
I mean,
and shut off in 5 minutes.
I'm so impressed with what you've done. I mean, so impressed. But it does seem a little like you're going like around your entire house, like to walk in, you know, the door that you were just standing in front of, sort of thing. So
I mean, this was just a small test case.
Okay.
To then understand what I can use this sensor for.
That's fair.
I intend to use it for other things.
I would use it for things like the things that my kids are constantly leaving open, like the pantry door, and I would tie it to a speaker. It says like after it's been open for a certain time, it says like, "Hey, you, close the pantry door." You know, like that would be great. You know,
yeah. I think you could do that.
Yeah, that's very interesting to me. I'm gonna strongly consider it. I mean, like garage door. I mean, of course, I can see when the garage door is up. I just don't look at the app, so that's actually a me problem, I think, not a technology problem.
I have a I have a future solution that I've got my eye on for the garage door. So once I bought it, installed it, tested and tried it out. Yeah. It might be a future tech recommendation, but okay. The thing that I'm looking at, it'll retrofit on any garage door opener and it looks fantastic. Like it'll do a lot of cool stuff. So stay tuned for that for some point in the future. But in the meantime, what do you have for us this week, Adam?
So I've got a Firefox add-on. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, it's one that you've never, ever seen. It's totally
wait, I've
unique.
Seen this before.
stop talking about that. Simple tab group. So let me describe the problem I'm solving. So I do a bunch of work with Edgewise, our company for podcasting. Then I usually would have like tabs open for that. Then I have a different Firefox window open with tabs for like my personal stuff. Then I have another Firefox window open with tabs for like some of my consulting things. And it just kind of helped me like segment out my brain as I'm like working on things to have like just those set of tabs open for that one thing. But it became really annoying because like when I switched to Firefox, I'm like I'm having to switch to the right window and figure out where the window is and all that.
Yeah.
So it's very annoying. So what this allows me to do is only show the tabs that are related to that specific task that I'm doing, and it just hides all the rest. And so I've got a tab group for consulting. I've got a tab group for Edgewise. I've got a tab group for personal. And then I can just quickly switch with the keyboard shortcut between all three of them. And
nice.
Then I've got a couple of tabs that are pinned. So they're always open on all of them all the time, which is like my calendar, for example. And so it really like, I gained a lot of efficiency in how I use Firefox and how I manage the tabs for that, which I find just profoundly very, very nice. So it's been great.
Yeah, I should probably try doing this again. I have got way too many tabs open.
Yeah, I know that about you. Yeah,
I can't even tell you how many tabs I have open.
That's terrifying.
I have to scroll the window to see all the.
Oh my gosh.
The drop down, you know, that shows you all the tabs. I have to scroll that to see.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tabs, man.
It is a lot of tabs. I'm not so good with the organizing of the tabs, so yeah, I got to figure that out.
Control.
Yeah.
All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjayparekh.com. I just recently migrated that over to Ghost Pro. It's the hosted solution, so I don't have to worry about updates on Ghost anymore. So I'm very happy about that. And hopefully that will motivate me to start blogging a little bit more one of these days. What about you, Adam?
You can find me on my website at adamjwalker.com. Make sure to sign up for my newsletter on there. And it's got links to, you know, all the stuff that I do.
And don't forget the J as a part of it, because Adam Walker is probably somebody totally
It's somebody
different.
Not me is what it is. It's somebody that's not me. And that's not cool. They don't wear hats, probably.
It's actually for sale. That's right. Didn't we look into this and they wanted way too much money?
It's for sale for like way too much money. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. Thanks. I'll pass.
Yeah. I'll keep the J.
I'm going to keep the J. Doo doo doo!